Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And for more on the draft, our guy Ross Tucker. Good morning, Ross.
Morning, Joe. I'm enjoying listening to you guys, although Richie's cracking me up. I mean, John's all over the place. First of all, he's making fun of the Miami Heat. John transferred to play for the Stanford Cardinal.
Oh, yes. Good point.
In college.
But you can say he is a
Cardinal.
You can say that. You can. Ross, he got you right on back.
But it's a tree.
Nah, he got you. Own the L.
I understand, but it still sounds better than he's a Heat.
Yeah, it does.
And then if we're talking about Jimmy Butler or Joel Embiid, I can't remember which one it is. I'm sure Seltzer knows. But whatever movie, Indiana Jones movie, where the guy rips people's hearts out,
Temple of Doom is
Jimmy Butler. That is not, unfortunately, to this point, Embiid.
That's right.
John.
That's right.
What movie is that where the guy?
Temple of Doom.
The second one.
Isn't that weird? I still think of that in my head. Like, I'll never forget that. The guy could just reach through your chest and rip your heart out.
Well, that was shocking at the time.
That was Jimmy Butler.
That's before you knew everything from the preview. So as you're sitting in the theater, you were probably like a second grade kid, Ross. That must have been shocking to your system.
I was right around that age. Yeah, it was cool. It was a little cool, a little scary. That guy was very scary. All right, Ross, let's get to this draft here. So let's start with Nate Wiggins. You know, we were just talking about him about 10, 15 minutes ago. Daniel Jeremiah, so this is a cornerback from Clemson. The Eagles certainly could draft. I mean, when I say could, he's going to be around where the Eagles draft, and maybe he'll be their pick at 22 or thereabout. Daniel Jeremiah, very critical of his tackling ability and basically raising the, I don't know if you want to go there flag because of the tackling. Is that nitpicky or is that a real concern?
Well, I think it's a real concern, but I would also say, you know, when you're picking at 22, guys, and this is, you know, obviously if the Eagles don't trade up, there's something wrong with all the guys. Like, you know, if they were a flawless prospect, they would go in the top 10 or at least top 15. So, I don't know. I mean, I've seen people that are not happy that he only weighs 170-some pounds. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing we heard from DeVonta Smith. And the guy just got a gigantic extension yesterday, which, by the way, is a very good sign for the Eagles organization, as always. But do I wish Wiggins was a better tackler? Yeah.
Let me just say this.
He'd be a top 10 pick.
On DeVonta and Wiggins, though, for what it's worth, because it's an interesting comparison. DeVonta has proven in his 3 years here, while slender and slight, he is tough. Is Wiggins tough?
So there's two different things to me. There's tough, like playing in games and playing through injury and not getting hurt. And then there's, do they really embrace the physical aspect of the game? I don't think that's a strength of Wiggins. I will say I heard the clip from Jeremiah and I understand, but there's a lot of corners that don't really want to tackle. Mm-hmm. What they need to do is make him a willing tackler. What I think is so fascinating about this, and we'll probably talk about this a lot in the preseason, the Eagles defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, I mean, he is an old school Northeast Pennsylvania Scranton Wilkes-Barre guy in his like 60s, if he's not in his 70s. I don't know that that's going to fly real well with him. And he's going to have a lot of input. If they're taking a corner in the first round, Fangio's going to have a lot of input, and I struggle picturing him. If he believes what Jeremiah just said, I struggle a little bit hearing Fangio sign off on that.
Yeah, that's interesting. So if you had your druthers, it sounds like you think if Fangio had his druthers and he has a choice between Ennis Rakestraw Jr. for a draft pick in the first round and Nate Wiggins, Nate Wiggins being the 4-2 guy who makes business decisions as a tackler, Ennis Rakestraw being the cornerback who you brought up on our show from Missouri, Ross, who is a ferocious tackler. The only problem is he ran a 4.51 in the 40. Which do you prefer? Which is better for today's NFL?
Yeah, so I would prefer, especially with the, where the Eagles are on their roster right now, I'd prefer the inside-outside versatility of Rakestraw and the tenacity, the physicality. So, but he's not going to give you the same upside as a guy like Wiggins. It's interesting, by the way. I was out last week, guys, at the NFL's broadcast boot camp, and I was getting some intel on Fangio from guys that were on the Dolphins last year, from guys that have played for him previously. And sort of the book on Fangio is he's not going to move these guys around that much. And that's actually one of the issues that Jalen Ramsey had last year in Miami. Jalen Ramsey wanted Fangio to move him around to different spots so that he could have a better chance to make plays. Whereas Fangio more was like, no, you're going to stay there, which I think is interesting as you start to talk about Slay and what the Eagles might do at corner. He's not the kind of D coordinator that likes to move these corners around.
Yeah, like feature the cornerback.
Them. Yeah, he's not going to feature them.
Right.
And some of those guys are not going to like it because they feel like teams can avoid them then. And look, he's going to do what's best in his mind for the defense, not so that Jalen Ramsey can get some interceptions or whoever, or Slay for now, for that matter.
Ross Tucker with us here. Ross, let's talk about the O-line as an area of need. And I'm curious your answer to how much of an area of need it is. So if Tyler Steen can start at guard, that makes it a lot more simple. Can he, in your opinion, effectively start at guard? And where do you balance need at O-line versus need at corner and safety and linebacker and defensive line?
So the interesting part about that to me is, like, isn't this exactly why they drafted Steen last year? This is exactly what we were told why they drafted Steen last year, to compete with Juergens to be the right guard and or to be the right guard and then eventually take over potentially for Lane at right tackle. I think on some level, let's just be honest, guys. If they take an offensive lineman in the first round, on some level, they're admitting that Steen was not a great high third-round pick.
I would agree with that.
And that's okay. You know, third-round picks, you can't – I mean, people want all these guys to start, all these guys to be good players. There's a bunch of third-round picks in the NFL that never play a snap. We lose sight of that a lot. That's okay. If Steen is Jack Driscoll, if Steen is the backup guard tackle – for the next 3 years on a rookie contract, there's still some value there. It would just be to me, I mean, he was a high third round pick. It'd be a little bit disappointing if that's the route that they go. I do think Steen could start at right guard. I guess it's interesting. I wasn't there every day. I just go based on what we saw in the preseason and those snaps he got. But it doesn't feel like we're hearing the same type of buzz
No.
about Steen behind the scenes. I mean, at a minimum, it seems very clear they're not giving Steen. Here's what I would say, Joe. They're going to take an O-lineman pretty high because it's pretty obvious they're not putting Steen at right guard and saying that guy's our starter. He's going to compete. So unless they think Hennessy is good enough to compete
what
with
about
Steen
Hennessy?
At right guard, they're going to take a guy.
Is Hennessy good enough to compete to be a starter at right guard, Ross?
He is. Steen is like a – Steen's – I mean, I'm sorry. Hennessy's like a Wisniewski.
Yeah.
So a guy like Hennessy, okay, is the type of guy that if he starts, you're fine. He's not going to lose you the game. You're probably always going to wish you had better. Like, that was me. I mean, that was like 3 years in a row where when I was starting, the team was like, okay, yeah, Ross is fine. But how can we get somebody better? Right, like the team's always going to be trying to get someone better. That's Hennessy. So he'd be fine for a year, I think, especially in between Juergens, who I think is going to play very well at center, and Lane. I think Hennessy and Steen are the floor. And I think that the floor is probably an average guard. But Russ, I don't know that either one of them is going to be above average, which is what the Eagles are trying to have at every O-line spot.
Russ, I'm trying not to be a Pollyanna on this one, but I think people are missing it on Lane Johnson. I'm hearing a lot of talk about how the Eagles have to draft Lane's replacement. I don't buy it. Do you buy this, like, Lane Johnson could be a year or two away from being done thing?
Well, he said he's got a couple more years left. He is a phenomenal player. He's in ridiculous shape. I don't know if I've ever seen an offensive lineman look like him. I'm like, at 335 to have, like, rippled abs? I mean, it is bananas the way Lane looks and his physique. If he says he's got a couple more years left, I guess I would tend to trust him, which, to your point, Joe, would make getting a Lane replacement a little more viable next year.
Absolutely. That's why I'm so tired of hearing about all the offensive linemen this year in the first round.
Well, there's
offensive linemen in the first round. Yeah, there's a lot of good tackles this year that can make you excited if you're looking for a tackle.
No. But, John, here's what I would say to what Joe just said. I will be disappointed.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If they take a guy that's a tackle only. In other words, the only way they take an O-lineman in the first round, Joe, is if he is going to start at right guard for this team and be an above-average starting right guard for this team this year and maybe next until Lane is done.
All right, Russ.
But there are guys like that in this
draft, in this
first round. Multiple guys that fit that description.
I mean, let's be honest, Joe. I mean, I know you're not happy with the O-line thing, but if they took another Dickerson – except this guy plays guard and then goes out to tackle.
Sure.
Or if they took another Juergens.
Sean Andrews.
Except this guy plays guard and then goes out there. You would be happy. Like, if they got a Juergens or Dickerson at 22, which, by the way, they got both those guys in the second round.
Right.
That's pretty darn good.
All right, Ross, let's tackle the quarterback situation for a sec. It might be off a lot of people's radar, but not me. Will you be shocked? I'm wondering how much their doubt has set in on Jalen. Will you be shocked if they take a QB in the second or third round?
Absolutely. That is not happening.
Kenny Pickett.
Even though it happened 5 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever year it was?
Correct. I don't think they have any doubt in Hurts yet. He's really only the first year into that big extension. Last year was still the last year of his rookie contract, even though they'd given him the deal. They brought in Pickett, who's under contract cheaply, for 2 more years. They can actually have him for three more if they want it. And I think we forget, you know, the Tanner McKee kid was kind of awesome in the preseason last year. I was actually a little bit surprised. I thought there was a chance, based on what McKee did in the preseason, that they would say, you know what, let's save money, let's save draft picks, and let's have McKee as the number two. But you know the history of this organization. They're just never going to do that. They're always going to have – three guys that they feel good about.
All right, Ross, last thing here. So I'm psyched the Eagles locked up Devontae. Especially with the way that season ended. I mean, Devontae is very high on my list for my most favorite Eagles. I mean, he was, to me, the best player the Eagles had in the playoff game by far. Maybe the only guy. So I'm psyched he's going to be here for a long time. But immediately, Ross, upon that news, my mind went to, what does this mean for A.J. Brown's future in Philadelphia? What is your – because it's a lot of money if you're going to give A.J. a new contract in a couple of years. What is your opinion of the Devontae signing and what it means for A.J. Brown's future in Philly?
Well, first of all, I echo your sentiments about signing Devontae Smith now. This is why the Eagles are the Eagles. Think about Brandon Ayuk is having issues in San Francisco. He wants to trade. CeeDee Lamb's not showing up. The Vikings have a mess on their hands with Justin Jefferson now because they don't have a quarterback and they haven't gotten him signed.
Micah Parsons isn't showing up either.
Yeah, the Cowboys are – they might be the worst contract team in the league.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. But they have Dak on a terrible contract.
Yeah.
Dak's cap
and they
is
redid
like $58 million
and they only saved themselves
year.
$5 million.
It's insane.
Wow.
So, but here's the thing. These guys, all the guys – T. Higgins, Joe, I just named four receivers that are all going to – I'm guaranteeing they get contracts in one way or another – over the next year, they're all going to get more than the Devontae Smith $25 million a year in new money average. So the Eagles just saved themselves a bunch of money by doing it now. I think A.J. Brown will be fine for the next couple years. He's not going to see that. You know, in 2026, I think his cap number, Joe, is like $41 million or something. So A.J.'s fine this year. I think he'll be fine next year. The rubber's going to meet the road on A.J. Brown after 2025. His salary that year is $30 million. Although, you know what? At that point in 2026, $30 million might be a palatable salary. It won't be – $41 million on the cap is too much. So they'll either extend him because he'll still only be 29, or that will be time to move on from him. And my guess is – if that's time to move on from him, they will have taken another receiver over the next couple of years. And one more thing I got to point out, Joe, because this is huge. I was talking with the GM of a very good team recently. And
that's the Bills GM.
Well, I'm not going to say.
No, I'm sniffing it out here.
But listen.
No, it's the, let's see. Take a guess, Seltzer. He's talking to John Lynch, the 49ers GM. No, I'm sorry, Roscoe. I'm just
No.
Right,
but now. Eagles fans need to realize this. That GM told me that the Eagles' cash budget, we talk all the time about the salary cap. But if you actually talk to teams and GMs and team presidents, the owner says, here's what I'm willing to spend this year in cash, in actual cash. That GM told me that the Eagles spend $20 million more in cash per year than he's allowed to.
Look, Lurie's a great owner. I mean, there's no
way
around it.
He is fantastic. Now, I also say this too, Joe. Some of that is that the Eagles fans are amazing and, you know, the local revenue, you know, the ticket sales and the merchandise and all that stuff. But the Eagles are willing to spend $20 million more a year than this team because I was kind of busting that GM's chops for the Eagles getting all these contracts done. And he said, well, I wish I had the $20 million more in cash that the Eagles are allowed to spend that I'm not.
Wow.
So keep that in mind for Lurie whenever we talk about the Eagles. It's an advantage, which, by the way, it's an advantage that the Cowboys should have a gigantic one, and they don't use it because I have no idea why.
Fascinating. Hey, Ross, great stuff on the draft and the whole shebang. Ross is always brought to us, of course, as an Odyssey NFL insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Download the free BetQL app. Do it now. Get instant access to the industry's most advanced suite of sports betting tools right at your fingertips. Obviously, Ross, we'll have you on again next week right before the draft. Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. Talk to you guys next
Good
week.
Stuff.